strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God's holy law has not only been inscribed on mankind's heart at the creation account that we see, at the creation of yourself, it has also been chiseled, as we know, into stone in what we know as the Ten Commandments. These commandments of God are the voice of God's holy and his perfect and his true and his good will towards mankind, and also as well for mankind. God's word, his word of law, to be more precise, makes prohibitions, thou shalt not, and it also makes demands upon you and me. It says what we shall do, thou shalt. God's word of law, it addresses how we should live, externally speaking, and it also addresses to each and every one of us the proper attitudes of the mind. Yes, we would say that the law addresses our thoughts, our words, our deeds. It encompasses everything that we are. It addresses the whole person, externally and internally speaking. So, my question for us here this evening, a question that we might have as we contemplate this word of law that God gives to us, that he inscribes on our hearts and he gives to us in his written word on the Ten Commandments as we know it. What is our attitude towards God's law? Obviously, it should be one of reverence and respect, for God's law, we know, is true. It is good. It is whole. God's law is not unfair or unjust by any means. However, with that said, when we look at God's holy character, who God is, and his will for us as expressed in the Ten Commandments, we find ourselves quickly out of his league. My friends, frankly, we cannot manage God's standards as expressed in the Ten Commandments. We cannot meet the demands of God's perfect and holy and true law. Thus, as a result, we find ourselves at odds with God's law. We find that God's law, which is truly good and whole and perfect, now stands against you and I, as it speaks its prohibitions to us and its demands. As we look at the law, we come to realize that the law of God has a valid claim upon us because we have not kept it to perfection in thought, word, and deed. We have voided the contractual nature of the law. Thus, because of this sinful nature that we have, that each and every one of us have, we find ourselves experiencing and receiving this pressure from God's law, this good and true and holy standard. It stands against us because, frankly, we violate it daily by our thoughts and our words and our deeds. This is not, by any means, the fault of the law itself. The law did not turn and become our enemy. It wasn't as if the law was originally somehow good and then turns bad and turns evil towards us. No, rather, it's the other way around. Because of our sinful nature, we have turned our backs from God's law. Thus, just like a mortgage or car loan or credit card statement with its big red numbers showing us our debt, the law of God does the same thing to each and every one of us. It shows us where we have sinned. It shows us just how much in the hole that we are. Putting our life up against the law results in a record of wrong that truly and most certainly stands against us. Not only does the law show us where we have sinned, but it also makes a continual demand upon each and every one of us. Like that mortgage statement showing us how much debt we are in and then demands a further payment, the law of God does the same thing to each and every one of us. law itself, it continues to make demands upon us. You shall be holy just as your heavenly Father is holy. Indeed, God's law is like those red letters on that mortgage statement. Those red letters that seem to jump off the paper saying to you now, payment due at this point and at this instant. Yes, we would say that the law not only shows us our wrongs, thus convicting us by compiling a criminal rap sheet for each and every one of us, but it continually exerts this pressure upon us by reaching out to us and calling for perfection. Alas, our consciences become bound, they become guilt-ridden. Guilt sets in and the pressure is applied when we look at ourselves in the mirror of the law. As a result of God's law bringing pressure to us, following us, and constantly revealing to each and every one of us our sin, our conscience most certainly becomes weighed down and burdened with a conviction and with guilt. As a result, though, to respond to this, we construct all sorts of methods to deal with this pressure and the accusation of God's law upon our conscience. In our day and age, people will unfortunately cut themselves and abuse drugs on the one extreme, and on the other side of the extreme, other individuals will give millions upon millions of dollars to things like the United Way or serve in soup kitchens to calm the rattling conscience of the soul and to satisfy the demands of the law for perfection. However, my friends, the result is unfortunately the same. The conscience still condemns us for the law. It demands continual and total perfection for each and every one of us. Indeed, no amount of good works, personal piety, and spiritual aerobics can alleviate and lift this stain of sin from our conscience or appease the demands of the law. Because of our violation of the law, this guilt and this stain that embeds itself at the depths of our being and it clings to us, it follows us, it haunts us, and it presses down upon us because of this violation of the law. As a result, though, this mission becomes one of trying to avoid and to escape and overcome and ignore and suppress the guilty conscience. When we realize that we can't clean our conscience and appease the demands of the law with our own works, we employ all sorts of escape tactics. We deny that we have sinned. We run from the accusations of the law, ducking and tucking and rolling from its demands of perfection. We try to suppress the guilt of our conscience by exchanging the truth of our sin for lies. However, the problem is that none of these actions can cancel out this debt or satisfy the demands or make an adequate payment or cleanse the conscience from this burden of sin. My friends, it is truly amazing to see the amount of money and resources that we each and every one of us spend and exert in order to calm the troubled conscience. You know, when it really comes down to it, some things really never do change. The problem of a stained and dirty conscience that stands condemned under God's holy and perfect will is as old as Adam and Eve. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned by violating God's word, their conscience was stained and troubled. Indeed, this violation of Adam and Eve of God's law not only resulted in them having the written demand standing against them, Scripture also shows us that Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves and they hid from God. What this all boils down to is that like Adam and Eve, we as mankind have a God problem, a problem with God's character of righteousness, God's character of holiness, this standard of perfection demanded by God. Tonight, though, we ask the question yet again, what does this holy, old, rugged cross do about the demands of the law? Does this old, rugged cross do anything to this tension between God's holy character and our unholy character? Does this old, rugged cross do anything about the burden of the conscience? Does this old, rugged cross, the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, do or say anything to us when the law of God condemns us as guilty and our consciences are burdened by this guilt of sin? In our Colossians reading from tonight, we read something truly remarkable, that there is a cancellation of this debt. This cancellation of debt happened on the cross, Paul says to the church in Corinth. It happened on the cross when it was nailed to the cross. Indeed, this record that stood against us, our record of sin, our record of the times that we have violated God's perfect holy law, was canceled and erased at the cross. Yes, this indeed damning record was canceled as it was nailed to the cross. However, how was this damning record nailed to the cross? You see, parchment was not nailed to the cross. Rather, Christ was nailed to this cross. Yes, this damning record of our violation of God's law was ascribed to Jesus and the Christ, and he endured our damnation, thus destroying this record of wrong, your record of wrong, my record of wrong. Therefore, this record of you now does not say payment due, but this record, your record, now says paid in full because of the shed blood of Christ for you. But you may ask, what of this law, Pastor, that continually stands against us? It's not as if this law, it is still there, it is still present in the Scriptures, inscribed on our hearts. You see, this very perfect, holy, and righteous law that condemns us is the very law that Jesus was born under himself. Born under it so that by his righteousness he might fulfill it. Yes, fulfill it on your behalf. Thus, Jesus not only destroys and breaks this record of wrong, but then he gives you his record of right as a peer and total gift. Yes, my friends, you have a new record, and that is Jesus' perfect record of righteousness. But you may say to yourself, what of this guilty conscience? Okay, the record of sin is destroyed. Christ fulfills the law, but what of this guilty conscience? As we read in Hebrews tonight, Hebrews says that the blood of Christ removed the stain from the conscience. Yes, the blood of Christ, it cleanses and gives relief to the conscience as well. The blood of Christ is the only cleansing agent that the universe knows that can give the conscience the relief in life and also peace in death. Yes, the gospel actually, it purges and it cleans our conscience. You who have ears, listen to the words of the gospel. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus the Christ. Christ has atoned for your sins. God is now well pleased with you because of Jesus for you. These words, my friends, are not just abstract ideas, but God's very word declared and poured into you. My friends, in Christ, you're not condemned by the law. In Christ, God's wrath has been satisfied. In Christ, God is pleased with you because of Jesus' righteousness that is accredited to your account. In Christ, the law has been fulfilled for you. In Christ, all of your haunting sins from your life cannot slam you. The blood of Christ not only cleanses and covers you right here and right now, but reaches back into your history and deep into your closets and truly washes you clean. My friends, tonight, and each and every night, and every day, you get to rest. Rest, my friends, in Christ and Him crucified for you. Rest in the shadow of this mighty cross, a cross that drips of Christ's blood, blood that was shed for you. Rest knowing that you are indeed righteous because of Christ who clothes you. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death, broke the light.